And as I was thinking, though, this afternoon, you know, the Lord just opened a layer of understanding to me as I was looking at, you know, John 14. And I just want to maybe just share that, you know, just briefly, you know, as we continue to pray. You know, we all have different things we ask the Lord about, things that we're not sure of, things that we not really, you know, we want more life or understanding on what to do. You know, so John 15 was open to me this afternoon. John 14, sorry. And three disciples, three questions in John 14. And it was a time of uncertainty. Jesus was about to be crucified, you know, and all that. And it was a very important stage in the life of his followers. You know, they had definite things that they wanted assurance about. You know, and they asked those questions, you know, of Jesus. And I'll just read maybe the three questions, you know, that the disciples asked him. Thomas, and we have a brother Thomas here. I have a question. We thank the Lord for God gracing you to be here. So in verse 5 in John 14, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? So that was a question to Jesus, to Yeshua. He said, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know what the way? You know, and we all have different crossroads we encounter in life, our careers. I know Brother Mark talked about many times when he was in us, you know, and how he had to make a choice. Hospital administrator. Okay, I was working in the hospital. Is that right?
Both, okay.
And how you reached some different crossroads in your life and how you needed to know where to turn to. You know, and the choices that God presented to you were difficult, but we're able to go along the line, you know, that the Lord, you know, led to you. You know, so that's what Thomas asked the question there. And then Philip in verse 8 says, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And what it was suffice us. I mean, we'll be satisfied if you show us the Father. You know, so there were concerns, you know, about, you know, who the Father was. You know, and Philip, you know, asked that question. Then Judas here said, in verse 22, Judas said unto him, not Christ, Lord, how is it that thou would manifest thyself unto us and not what?
22.
Unto what? The world. Yes. That is John 14, 22. Judas said unto him, not his parents, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? So I know that the Lord has, you know, built a deeper level of understanding for us, you know, about his second coming. You know, that the Lord will not necessarily come to the whole world like some people do believe now, you know, that there's a place called Mount Olives in Jerusalem where the Lord will physically go. And there are people who strongly believe in that, even up to today. But we do know that there is a secret coming within us, and as the Lord makes himself known within us, then he prepares us to be that body of people that will make him known to the ends of the earth. So there's something of the Lord that the Lord definitely wants to do within our hearts over the next few days, and I pray that there will be capacity for us to take it in, to accept, you know, the Lord, what the Lord is implanting and bringing to us by words and by his Spirit, so that we can make progress in our walk with him. In the name of Jesus. The words of Jesus, going back to John 14. You know, as we walk this walk of faith in the Lord and we go along the path that Jesus set for us, sometimes our hearts tremble. Tremble not because we're afraid. Tremble not because we do not know what to do physically. We tremble because we know that we serve an awesome God. You know, we tremble because we know that it's important that we walk in the fear of the Lord. And I trust that as God's people, we'll find that comfort of spirit, of heart that is needed, you know, as we walk, you know, with the Lord. So Jesus says here in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Then of whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. You know, the Lord has brought us into you know, the avenue of being called the people of God, the church of the living God, the body of Christ, for a reason and for a purpose. You know, and I trust and I believe that as we behold the Lord each day, the Lord by His Spirit, by His Holy Spirit, will minister the essence of what our day should be. You know, these mansions are a place of ministry, a place where we are effective for God. You know, how we make, you know, changes, you know, and with the advent of technology, it's very easy to cut across the geographical locations, you know, with emailing and Skype and all the different peripherals that we have. We can be effective in our work with the Lord, you know, both internationally and locally. And I trust, you know, the Lord will help us, you know, to make advances in Christ based on the things that He's made ready for us, you know, to do. And that's where that led to Thomas's question. You know, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, and we don't have to look far. You know, we see people questioning the utterances of Jesus, of Him being what? The way. Him being what? The truth. Him being what? The life. Yeah. There are a lot of alternatives in the world, isn't there? We don't have to look far. You know, an invitation went out, not just for us here, but to the ends of the earth, for people to really accept the saving grace that God has brought to them through Jesus. But how many people have embraced that wholeheartedly? How many people are following on to know the Lord? You know, how many people are failing at the first hurdle, the mystery of salvation? How many of God's people are failing at the second hurdle, the mystery of sanctification and consecration? How many people are failing, you know, at the third hurdle, and so on and so forth? And we see ways in which, you know, ourselves and many others have fallen short of the glory of God. But we trust that the Lord will restore all the areas, you know, in our hearts, in our mind, in our soul, that hasn't been able to receive the totality of the revelation of God's righteousness that is so freely, you know, given to us. You know, there's so much, not just to say, there's so much to do. And I trust that as we look to the Lord each day, this work will not overwhelm us. But as we trust, you know, in the leader of the Holy Spirit, as He gives us each day as a gift, we'll go forth, hallelujah, with the anointing and with the presence of God to make a difference in amongst the people that God has called us to. And I know that the grace of God is sufficient. You know, we see all different alternatives in the world, you know, different bents, different ideas, either of religion, you know, or either of social, you know, living, social life, you know, but we trust that which God has brought to us through Jesus. Him being what? The way. Him being what? The truth. Him being the life.
Amen.
Will be ours more abundantly in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So going back to Philip's question again, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father in what and what it confides us, and we'll be satisfied if you show us the Father. And we'll see what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, Have I not so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now the Lord told us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, the cry, you know, of God's beloved to the Father. The cry to see, you know, mature people radiating, hallelujah, you know, the life that God has so freely given to us in Christ Jesus. It's a cry, it's a prayer we must not forget. And I trust that the Lord give us that grace to really see Father God as a holy God, as an awesome God. A God who means well for us. A God who at all lengths to ensure that we partake in His holiness and in His righteousness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So just read it down. He goes on to give a promise there in verse 13. And whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I know that the longing of our hearts is a longing that has been brought to us by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 that we do not know even how to pray, how to even offer it bodily, even what words to say. But we have a helper, the Holy Spirit. He comes to our aid, gives us words to say, and allows us to say it in a manner that is acceptable before God. So we are with help. And the Holy Spirit, as we read on, provides that help for us. So the things we ask are not carnal things, are not sensual things, not things pertaining to this life, but things that God originally engineered to bring to us so that we can walk in ways, you know, that honor Him. So we trust that as we yield to the Holy Spirit each day, as we, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to inspire our prayer, to inspire our words, to inspire our search for Him, to inspire our relationships, we trust that we know that that which we bring forth as a prayer is what God really had in His heart. In the name of the Lord. He goes on, verse 15, to say, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and I shall give you what?
Another
comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither may it. For you know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave comfortless, I will come to you, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. For you see me, because I live, you shall live also.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God for life, life in the Spirit, no life physically. That by the Spirit of the Lord is all trained, you know, the chemistry of our body. He is filling us, He is fitting us.
Amen.
He is giving us the ability to radiate, hallelujah, the life eternal and the life physical to the glory and praise of His name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But it says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Ye in this world, and the world seeth me no more. For ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him, and I will manifest myself. We trust, you know, that, you know, the mind and will of God is being made manifest as we pray, as we look to the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord. The mind and will of God is being made known. Hallelujah. The Lord is quickening us, the Lord is strengthening us, the Lord is orchestrating things that even we cannot see. And I trust that that's the mind and will of God for us, you know, as we gather this weekend. In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's intent is to make Himself known to us.
Mm-hmm.
I know He will. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So going to the answer that Jesus gave Judas, not Iscariot. Say, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him.
Amen.
He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words that ye hear is not mine, for the Father who sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which he goes, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we see Jesus reiterating those words that he gave us in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You know, the things that are associated with fear and anxiety, you know, and trouble and disheartened, you know, living, the Lord will roll those things away. He will roll those things away.
Mm.
Now, the assurance of faith, the assurance of our tomorrow will be given unto us. For the promise of the meek inheriting the earth will be ours as we look to the Lord daily.
Mm.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
He goes on in 27, I will just conclude, and I hopefully will pray. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass, I believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh.
Amen.
I had nothing in me.
Amen.
But the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment. Even so I did. Arise, let us go. And I trust know that these words, yes, though they were spoken over 2,000 years ago, the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit with us will be felt more than ever before. You know that our lives are not just an accident of trying to make ends meet, but their eternal plans being registered, being enforced in our waking each day. In our going forth each day, there's something that is beyond our own making that the Lord is doing. And we need that assurance. We need that assurance. We need that assurance. I trust that as we spend these few days here, much more the reality of us being overshadowed by heaven will be real more than ever before. That our lives are not an accident. That God is orchestrating things beyond our own making. And I trust that we'll all be partakers of that. In the name of Jesus. I just want us to just, you know, covenant with God tonight through prayer. So really, you know, abandoning the direction and the control of our lives over to God. Sometimes we say, yes, God is in control, but subtly, we are still, you know, the managers of our own life. Let's truly abandon the destiny of our lives to God.
Mm-hmm.
And trust that the Lord, with eagle's wings, will take us where He wants us to be.
Amen.
In the Spirit.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord. You know, so, whatever questions we have in our hearts, might not be really, you know, crossroad questions, questions of life and death. Whatever is causing our hearts not to fully yield to the authority of Jesus, let the Holy Spirit bring the comfort, bring the assurance that is needed tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's just bow our heads and trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to us. You know, the things in our hearts and in our lives that we're still holding strong onto, where God, the Holy Spirit, said, abandon that, leave that, let that go. You know, I want to take the reins of your life, the reins of the destiny of your life. I want to really lay hold upon it, and I want you to follow where I lead. Let's trust, you know, that there will be new respect, you know, tonight and the days to come. You know that the Lord means well for us more than we even do for ourselves. Hallelujah. 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 Almost to be Alamara. Hallelujah. Glory and Amagasai.
Like we were that first meeting when we came. Remember that? You know, the only difference is we're seated differently. We were in a nice big circle. There was none of these things here. This is good, though. But I only have a small comment. I can't help but I love these parables, Brother George. And, you know, this one part here in verse 7, we kind of skipped over it. But if you don't mind taking another look, we should be asking questions when we read the Word.
Yes.
Lord, what did you mean, the king is wroth? And who are these armies that are being sent out? Who are these murderers? And what are their cities that are being destroyed? Have you ever... Oh, I'm sorry. You want me to hold that thing? Okay. You know, I remember looking this up a few years ago. And I remember... in my Bible, I have a big circle around this word armies. And I remember looking that word up. I'm thinking, Lord, who are these armies? Because we're not organizing crusades anymore, you know, to go over to Turkey or wherever, to Holy Land or whatever. This isn't the kind of armies that we're doing. And I remember I looked it up in two or three places, and I don't remember where it was, but one of the definitions of armies was the apostolate. Do you understand what that word means? It means the apostles, not only the apostles, but it means the apostolic message. And the apostolic message, if I'm taking that right, is the equivalent of an army of God. Do you understand? Are you hearing? You have your earring on or whatever. Because what we're doing now is we are functioning as an army of God. And this army is there's two sides of this thing that the army is doing. If you're caught on the wrong side of this, okay, the side where the king is wroth, angry, these are old English words, but we understand what they mean, amen, the king did not like being put off. A king has, how do we say, I hate to use the word habit. He's used to getting what he asked for. Am I right? And I think that we should regard, brethren, the King of the universe.
Amen.
He should be regarded as a king who gets what he asked for.
Yes.
Of his servants. We are his servants. And so he's going out to destroy those murderers. You see, one of the responses of the people, there were different responses. The one response was they just plain ignored it. They made light of it. You can say, well, that was perhaps the most gentle response, but it evoked, this message didn't just pass over the heads of some of them. You know, but there were some of them that got very angry at that message. And they said, it is destroying our old system. And we're going to kill these messengers. And you know, there's a lot of death going out, even in the natural, in this hour. Christians. Amen. And they're not necessarily abrasive Christians that are being killed. Abrasive in the word that they're bringing, just the very fact that they represent the king. Amen. But he says that this army is also going to burn up their city. Now, when we're talking about cities, and I'll only be a second here, we are part of a city, are we not? We are what city?
Zion.
City of Zion. City of the living God.
Amen.
But you know what? They've got a city too. In fact, he says they have cities, which they have their systems. And the promise of God, this is not only an apostolic message, but this is a prophetic message. And this prophetic message says that if you take this apostolic message out, you are going to be involved in destroying the strongholds of the devil. Amen. George, you were not wrong. The devil did join the church. I remember Brother DeFeel saying that he wanted them to murder them. Apparently that was not 100% successful, so he decided he was going to join the church. Now, he hasn't given up trying to kill them either. But he's using other tactics as well. He's joining the church, and he's also trying to murder the people of the church. So their empires, amen, the walls are coming down,
amen,
as we sing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I like that song.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm sorry, that was all I wanted to point out.
Amen.